in association with andthevalleyshook.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, coming to you on a Wednesday night. October 10th, 2012. Kerry Muntz in the saddle. Closer out somewhere in Texas watching his Orioles with his eyes and keeping an ear and a laptop to us. What's up, Closer?
The Orioles are up 2-1 in the fifth. Other than that, things are going well. I'm trying to block out Saturday, but everything else is going well.
There's no way in hell to block out Saturday. We'll get to in much detail about that. And
I'm a pretty accomplished drinker. I can block out a lot. I've blocked out an entire marriage. I mean, come on.
There you go. Yeah, I think my whole college life was blocked out because of drinking. So, like I stated, this is the Go Show in partnership with AndTheValleyShook.com. Ways to get in touch with the site. You can visit Ann the Valley Shook at www.andthevalleyshook.com. You can download the Go Show for free from iTunes. You can subscribe to the show. You can go to Facebook and like the show. You can email the show, goshow@gmail.com, gaux@gmail.com. Various ways to get in touch with us. My man behind the scenes, podcast, managing editor of Ann the Valley Shook and producer of the Go Show, man of 1,001 nicknames. Got to come up with a new nickname for him this weekend. That's our goal for this weekend to come up with. We are missing Patrick tonight, but we got Poza back after about a 3-week hiatus, so I don't have to sit here and talk by myself for about 15-20 minutes. To start off the show, this just came out just recently. NOLA.com has a brief article stating that Alex Hurst, we might be without Alex Hurst on Saturday. This does not bode well for an already struggling team and offense and offensive line. I don't know the idiosyncrasies of why he might be out, but chalking onto what has been a laundry list of just things that have just gone wrong since the beginning of August for this football team. So.
Really, of things that have gone wrong, the offensive line is at the top of the list. We've lost at least three guys with significant time. Lonergan's missed a lot of time. He's been in and out with injuries. Now we're going to be missing Hurst. Williford has not exactly been a picture of health. And, of course, Chris Faulk lost for the season. There's just no continuity. And this is just another blow to a unit that just needs to stay the same for a week. I don't even care who play. It used to be the argument of where are we going to play people. Now I just want the same unit to play for a quarter because I don't think we've seen that all season.
I don't think we have either. You're talking about a guy in Hurst who was actually the one mainstay of the line that was just getting shuffled around everywhere and, probably behind Faulk, our best offensive lineman. We're asking a lot of him. I don't know what his deal is. I mean, this is not a good sign. Things just continue to just, it's like just gasoline to a fire right now. It's just what has become a huge dumpster fire to this point. There's too many things going wrong for this football team. 14-6 lost to Florida on Saturday in what can only be described as an abysmal performance on offense. And, say what you want. I mean, there's a list of things wrong, and I've been playing it over in my head over and over all week long. And when you add it all up together, all you can think about is what other teams could compete at a level in the SEC as we are, and still have a chance to win this game with the amount of things that have happened to us. And this is not excuses. I'm not playing injury bug. I'm not crying and whining about excuses and injuries. These are all reasons. Let's just count them down. I've been thinking about this all week. Let's just count them down to things that have gone wrong since August. Matthew gets kicked off the team.
Yes.
We have five players suspended due to academic issues.
Yeah, including the two starters.
Two starters. Taj Jones and give me the other guy. I'm sorry. Is it Edwards? Tyler Edwards? No.
Yeah, I thought Edwards was a starter at the time, but because you are blocking tight end. But
Right. Chris Faulk goes down in practice, torn ACL.
Probably the worst thing that happened this season.
Yes.
If we're going to point it out, that's the worst. I think everything has – we could have bounced back from a lot of stuff. But Chris Faulk going down has
Alfred Blue out for the season.
Yeah, Alfred Blue was another big loss.
Number of offensive linemen playing out of position, getting nicked up, hurt everywhere.
Yeah, Lonergan. That was Williford, who I think got a concussion last week. When they listed the injuries on CBS, they said head. That's never a good idea. Lonergan's been in and out the entire then you have Porter, who apparently can't snap a football. He has no rhythm, Mettenberger. On defense, we have lost three linebackers. My personal favorite is when we lost Minter. They put in Muncy to replace him, and then Muncy got burnt repeatedly. And then they put Kwan over to his side, and then Kwan broke his ankle. Kwan was starting at the time. And, of course, since we lost Taj Jones, that makes three linebackers. I don't think anyone else in – I don't think there's a team in the country that can lose their entire linebacker core.
We've managed to do it. And add to that a quarterback who looks uncomfortable and unconfident, receivers who drop passes consistently, and when they do catch passes, they fumble. Stupid penalties. It's just a number of things. Bad play.
We went from a team that had not running backs who had not fumbled the ball. I think in 14 games, fumbled the ball three times in one game, and then followed up last week with a fumble. And what was great about three fumbles in one game was every running back who had significant carries all fumbled. That was good. The team is 50% on red zone efficiency, which is putrid. What else you got? Things that have gone wrong. Crabtree still has Parkinson's disease.
Stradar, we're still really technically without an offensive coordinator because we promoted our offensive line coach. These are all. And all that being said, we still control our own destiny in SEC West.
So. Last year was a magical run, and kind of everything went right. And you know, in the grand circle of life, it's time to pay the piper. When people talk about luck, they tend to think about plays going your way. That's not really what luck is, because that evens out in the course of a game. Everybody remembers the play that helps you, but not the one that hurts you. My big thing was the Tennessee game. Everybody remembers the end of that game and doesn't remember every bad play that kept Tennessee in a game where they were clearly dominated throughout in the football game. So three quarters of bad luck doesn't make up for one play of good luck. But the big thing with luck is injuries. You really can't control injuries, the kind of injuries that LSU's having. We're talking torn ACLs, a concussion, broken ankle. Those aren't conditioning. I mean, this is not a team tiring out. This is just freak injuries over and over and over again.
Right.
So the good luck of last year where everybody was healthy all year long, we're paying it back. We paid it forward, and now it's time to pay the piper, and that's the way it goes. Sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you ain't.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. And, you know, and all I can think about is, you know, let's – at this point, and I'm not sitting – I'm almost sitting there throwing a towel, delusional optimism at its best here. But if we can just somehow salvage 9-3 this season, win a bowl game, and come back, you know, possibly get Matthew back next year, get healthy, and, you know, got another year with Mettenberg and the receivers working together, revamp, you know, offensive line. What the good thing is about all these offensive linemen playing is that they're all be seasoned and ready for next year. So
also, a lot of these guys probably won't go pro early. Chris Faulk's probably going to come back for a senior year.
Yeah.
Minter, he's still going to be up in the air, but we were worried about some of the receivers or maybe a quarterback leaving early. That's not going to happen. With all the injuries, people are coming back, so we'll have a – I don't want to say 9-3. I don't want to completely give up the ghost. I will say this. I am more terrified of USC than I am of Alabama. We always seem to give Alabama a really good game. I think that USC is loaded, and they're kind of the LSU of last year right now. They terrify me. But if we can get through the USC game without getting embarrassed, I think we're in better position than people think to pull an upset over Alabama. But that's still a while away.
Our defense
team is. They could be beaten down. If they lose this game, if they lose to A&M or, you know, Mississippi State, all of a sudden they go into the, you know, Bama game already thrown in the towel, and that could be pretty bad.
You know, and I think about it this way. I think our defense will always keep us one score away or one play away from either being in a game, winning a game. You know, let's think about what our defense did on Saturday. And if Odell Beckham doesn't fumble that ball, we're first and 10 at the 20.
Yeah.
Down 7-6 in field goal range.
Late
in the third quarter, you know?
And also, if you look at the game, yeah, we were never really out of it until the very end. The team held Driscoll, I think, to 60 yards passing. Right. I mean, sure, they were running it down LSU's throat in the second half, but still, 60 yards passing is pretty amazing. The game was still in contention to the end. And also, everybody needs to take a step back. We haven't lost a regular season game in so long, we kind of forgot what it's like. Team's still pretty good. We do control our own destiny. Let's not flip out over the first loss that we've had in a regular season in 2 years. Let's wait until we lose two games before we flip out.
Right. Well, I'm already flipping out. I'm not flipping out because there's just too many things wrong with this football team to really expect anything more than what we're getting on the field right now. It's just, you know, surely I think even with the injuries, our offense should be able to muster up more than 6 points, especially when you have the ball first and 10. I mean, first and goal inside the 10.
That was terrible.
And we're throwing jump passes with a 5'6" converted running back to wide receiver.
Also on third and five, where no one's going to fall for it. Receiver on the route. What the offense reminds me of right now, it reminds me of a really old car. If anyone ever owned like a real piece of junk car, because you started up and the offense looked pretty good when it came out of the gate. They drove down the field, they kicked the field goal, they got the 3 points. So, you know, you got it warmed up, it's still going, it's moving. But then what happened is Florida kept pinning LSU back. The next four drives, LSU started inside their own 10. And we can blame a little bit of that on Odell Beckham. And, the receivers dropped some passes and things like that. But what happened is that they constricted the playbook. And kind of the offense got put up on blocks for a little bit. And the engine got cold and it couldn't start back up again. When LSU got good field position again and was playing in the middle of the field, it's like it lost all momentum. And it was like that old car where, you know, you no longer have gas in the engine, you can't get the thing started again. And that's kind of what it felt like. Like, it lost what little momentum it had off that first drive, which looked pretty good. Then you had a bunch of drives where you're just trying to get to the 20-yard line and punt it back. Once the game started going, the offense never got that momentum going. It couldn't restart itself. And that was the most frustrating thing because the offense did move the ball at the very beginning of the game, so you're thinking, why can't they do it now? The team rushed for 1.7 yards a carry. That is horrible. We expected the passing game to look worse and worse and worse. We're conditioned to a bad passing game, but the running game couldn't do anything. And any time we got third and short, that's when the team decided to run a cute little play. We ran the jump pass in the red zone. There was another We ran a sprint out, I think, on third and five. We ran another trick play on third and short. It was just like, on third and two, we finally got one of these things, and they didn't have confidence that the running backs could gain 2 or 3 yards up the middle. And that was the most shocking thing because that's our bread and butter.
The state of our offensive line, he has no trust. I guess he has no trust in his offensive line. He has no – He sometimes still calls plays like it's the 2008 LSU passing attack still.
Yeah, no, I think it comes down to that it's the bad offensive line. Like, no one knows what this line can do, and not in a way of, hey, they might be good. I mean, in like what depths are we yet to explore? And every play call just seems to be to minimize the damage of the offensive line, which I'm sure will be no problem against a guy like Javon Clowney. I mean, I hear
not at all. Not at all. You mentioned the first drive. The first drive was beautiful. I mean, you get down the field, you like to get a touchdown out of it, we get the field goal, which is fine, get points on the opening drive. But it's like the lack of adjustments on offense just continue to it's mind boggling how we cannot adjust any way, shape, or form to, you know, we do something so well on offense from the first series, moving the ball, using our tight ends, you know, getting enough, not gashing Florida for rushing. Running the ball, getting respectable yards, looked good. Using the tight ends, and all of a sudden, you know, we go away from that. Probably because Florida adjusted a little bit, took the tight ends out. Now and then we started hitting, and we had some wide open, we had some slants that were open to wide receivers after that. But Cadre Boone dropped two. The second one he dropped probably goes for 15, 20 yards. The next pass gets intercepted, which is completely on Mettenberg. He overthrew that ball. Yeah. But it shouldn't have came to that. And he probably was frustrated with the drops and overthrew on that one, which is still, I'm not making an excuse. It's his fault. It's totally on him.
Yeah. So also, what you saw is the play calling. Yeah, first and 10 on the 8th. And you're just thinking, okay, let's just get some yards. Let's push the offense out so we can open up the playbook. They run the ball. They get 2 yards. They're at the 10s. And now it's 2nd and 8. And then they just run a short pattern, hit the receiver in the number, drops it. All of a sudden, it's 3rd and 8, and you're deep in your own territory. And then you're just running the ball to get better field position for the punt. That happened in 3 drives inside the 10-yard line. You can't have run, dropped pass, run 3 times. And that's how Florida has kept spending all their time on LSU's side of the field. But at the end of the day, what it came down to is both teams made 2 trips to the red zone. In LSU's 2 trips, they got field goals. In Florida's 2 trips, they got touchdowns. Exactly. And that was the difference of the game. Exactly. All that said, all of the problems, LSU still could have won this game had they just converted in the red zone. And if there's any number one problem, I could say it's red zone and third down conversions is what plagues this team.
Yes. I mean, I think we were the only third down we converted was the Odell Beckham fumble, if I'm not mistaken.
There was also the penalty. But yes.
Oh, I'm not counting. Fuck down. Excuse me. Screw penalties.
Yeah.
I'm not counting penalties. I'm talking about actually. Yeah.
That at least get granted.
Not to mention giving Florida 15 yards here and there in their touchdown drives.
Yeah.
On the but side of the ball with stupid.
The defense just gave out. They spent the entire.
Oh, yeah. Without question. It was 37 and a half minutes on the field. I mean.
And also to give them credit, when Minter went out of the game, Florida attacked. They saw where Minter played. Minter went out of the game, and they just ran the ball where Minter would have been. And if Minter doesn't go down, Florida probably doesn't drive down the field and score those touchdowns. We might be looking at a 6-6 game, and we're having a different conversation right now. We're talking about how the offense was still struggling, but the defense held out, and we somehow won the game.
Right.
That's entirely possible if Minter doesn't get hurt. But, you know, ifs and buts and, you know, beggars, horses and all that. I mean,
now, what's his status for Saturday? I don't – I'm not sure Minter's status for Saturday. Is he available Saturday?
It's not a serious injury. I think it was just cramps. And that was his comment about the humidity. But he was still one tackle away from setting a school record for tackles. I mean, he had a monster game. Kevin Minter is exempt from any criticism.
I agree. I think he was almost an LSU record in tackles. I mean, I don't know how many tackles he had.
One.
I'm sorry?
He was one away. I think he had 19 or 20 tackles. Either 20 is the record, and he had 19, or he had 20, and 21 is the record.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's just – I mean, hats off to him. I mean, that's what was our weakness on defense last year is slowly becoming a strong asset with him, and then unfortunately Kwan goes down with the injury. Muncy's a liability. He is definitely the Scott Chandler of the linebacking core.
You'll probably see more, you know, Debo.
Right, yeah, that guy's going to be a special player, all accounts. So, to put an ugly little bow on it, that's about all I want to really talk about. With Florida, we know where the issues are, and we're facing another we're facing a team now who's coming off a freaking tongue lashing. I mean, just complete beat down in Georgia.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. South Carolina looks awesome right now.
Yes, they were. I got home from watching a game at a friend's house and was thinking, yeah, let me watch a good SEC game, and it's 21-0 in the third quarter. And I was like, feels good to be a South Carolina fan, I bet, right about now. Kind of how we felt last year when we were beating the snot out of Auburn and Florida.
Yeah. They're kicking ass and taking names, and good for them. Like, if you're not a Georgia fan, who doesn't like South Carolina? They've been down for so long, it's kind of cool to see them winning something. So I want to beat them this week, but if not, I hope they win out.
Exactly. Yeah, and as we segue ever so smoothly, we're going to welcome in our guest, Brandon, from creator of Garnet and Black Attack, our brother station at SB Nation. He's also a main contributor to Team Speed Kills. Is that right, Brandon?
Yes.
So we're going to welcome him in, and you got to be feeling pretty confident, pretty good about South Carolina's performance on Saturday, and based on what you saw from LSU and what you've seen from LSU all season, you've got to feel pretty good about where this team is coming into Baton Rouge on Saturday.
Well, I feel somewhat good. I mean, the thing is, as a South Carolina fan, whenever things start to go well, you start waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're always kind of, I mean, there was that year we went 6-1 and then went 0-5 down the stretch and didn't even end up in a bowl game after being ranked in the top 10. So, but yeah, I mean, this looks like a really good, well-rounded, strong team. It looks right now like Spurrier's best team that he's had at South Carolina, but we've got to see what happens, particularly over the next month here with four big SEC games coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I run through a pretty good gauntlet in October as well. I mean, it's after us. I think you have the Florida next weekend.
Yeah, we go to Florida next weekend, and then we face Tennessee, which is a game that kind of worries me. And then Arkansas comes to Columbia, but I hope we can beat this Arkansas team. We struggle with Arkansas a lot, but I hope we can beat this one.
Well, with y'all blowing out Georgia, big rival, and then Florida next week, also a big rival, is there any chance this is a letdown game where South Carolina kind of takes a breather, thinking that LSU looks a little bit down and they can just kind of coast through this one? Or do you think this is LSU's LSU, and we're going to go out there and show that we're one of the top teams in the country?
I think that the letdown possibility is something that you really have to worry about. I mean, South Carolina has a history of doing this. The most recent time was a couple of years ago when we went on to win the East, but we came off the big win against Alabama and went into Lexington, took a big lead on Kentucky, and then just fell apart down the stretch, blown coverage, interception at the end of the game, and that ended up killing us and really was a pretty big blow to that team. And you look at last year, things are going pretty well. We kind of took Auburn a little bit lightly. Auburn came into William-Brice and beat South Carolina and pretty much derailed our hopes of winning the SEC East. Looking back, that was the main difference between us and Georgia. Georgia beat Auburn and South Carolina didn't. I mean, as a fan, if I have to lose one of the next two games, I would prefer it to be LSU, because you lose a game to LSU, particularly if it's a close game, you're not completely out of the national conversation, and you still, as long as you win out, you're still going to go to the SEC championship game, and you've got a chance to get a win there that would put you back where you might have been anyway. So I think if there's a danger that we overlook any team this year, it probably is LSU, just because the two games around them are vital. The LSU game is important but not crucial.
Right, it's more for style points. I mean,
right,
still counts in the standings, but it's more of a statement game than oh my god, we have to win this to make it to Atlanta.
Right, and we are going to Baton Rouge at night. And that always worries you. Although I don't know, can your players stand the heat down there in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, no, I don't think.
Apparently not.
It's all day drinking. Really, it's gonna be the dry heaves they'll have. And honestly, I think that's one of the things that I have a little bit of confidence about this game. Tiger Stadium at night is an intimidating venue. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but it is. It's one of the better home venues in college sports, or actually, you know, any sport. And it's a tough place to play. And if the crowds are jumping and the student section, you know, brings it, maybe that can motivate this LSU team and get them moving a little bit.
I guess, you know what's going to have to happen, Poe, is that there's going to have to be a big play, special teams, defense, offensive-wise, early to get this. If something happens bad early, you're gonna lose the fan base early.
It's going to be air out of a balloon. So it could go either way. This stadium is either going to erupt because we've just been waiting for something good to happen this season, or you're right. It's either the balloon is going to rise or it's going to be the Hindenburg. Either it's equally likely. I think either LSU wins close or South Carolina wins by 20. It's going to be that kind of game.
Well, I think you underestimate our ability to make it what should be a walking away game, a close one, but. I mean, the one thing, if you're asking me what makes me confident about this game, it's the way that the offensive line looked pretty lost at Florida, and Mettenberger seems to have no pocket awareness. I don't know if that was just the last week thing.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that in our laundry list of things earlier. Yeah, that too.
He cannot pick up the blindside rush. But then again, he's been hit from the blindside so many times, it's probably, you know.
I mean, you think of, you know, we've got Jadeveon Clowney, we've got Chaz Sutton. We've got, those sorts of players along the line, Devin Taylor. So, you know, that's what gives me hope is our defensive line against your offensive line. If we can keep y'all relatively low on the scoreboard, we can probably score here and there. I mean, y'all only gave up 14 points to Florida, so it's not like I think we're going to be driving up and down the field all night.
I really have confidence in our defense. I still think we're going to be able to largely shut y'all down. I don't think we're going to be running up. But, yeah, you're right. Our offensive line terrifies me. It looks terrible. That was not an accident. They have looked bad all year. Florida was just the most recent disaster, and I'm actually not used to the running game also starting to suck. And that is what has made me really, really nervous about South Carolina, particularly with those ends. I mean, South Carolina is one of the most talented teams up front in the conference. And if you have a bad offensive line, that's the kind of thing that keeps you up at night.
Not to mention South Carolina has a better passing attack with Connor Shaw and a slightly better running back with Marcus Lattimore. Not that Gillis Lee is bad. Yeah, Gillis Lee is bad. It's just that Marcus Lattimore is freaking good.
We've rested Lattimore this year. I mean, Spurrier has been – he got criticized last year because there would be games where Lattimore would go out there and run the ball 28, 30, 35 times. He's been very, very careful with how he's used Lattimore this year. I think Lattimore's high in carries is like 23. So
Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, they're going to sit him down for the SEC title.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, at week 10 on, he's done. He's done. We're saving him for his pro career, yeah.
Yeah.
College football programs don't think like that. I remember the stupidest comment I've ever heard in my life. It was 2007. Posey, I think you know where I'm going with this one. Gary Danielson suggested Glenn Dorsey not play the rest of the season and jeopardizing the rest of his professional career when he was banged up the year.
Keith Law suggested that about Kevin Gausman in the College World Series this year. I wanted to pretty much punch Keith Law in the face. I'm like, you realize that these games actually matter to us. We're not going to rest Kevin Gausman because we want to win these games. This isn't minor league baseball. These titles count.
And Law didn't just say that once or twice. It became like a crusade for him for like 2 days.
He kept going on about it, and it really wasn't like used them that much. They used them to close out one game and then start the next, but it was a doubleheader. So it was just like a really long inning, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I think at the end of the day, he threw like 120 pitches. It was not like this absurd workload. It was all day long, and he took to Twitter. What a humorless jackass. And the way he badmouthed my Orioles, I hope he gets hit by a bus. Keith Law is number two on my most hated journalists right now. Glenn Gilbaugh is permanently number one. So Keith Law has just got to stay at number two right now.
The version away from topic, as only we ever could here on the Go Show, we could do best. So,
I was talking in the ALCS somehow. So.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brandon, what's your thoughts as far as Connor Shaw coming into this environment on Saturday? I touched on it with Spencer last week about Jeff Driscoll's maturation. What do y'all think down there in Columbia about the maturation of Connor Shaw at this point, and how good he's progressed this season, and how he's complimented what's a really good rushing attack?
Well, to me, Connor Shaw strikes me as the kind of guy that does not get flustered. When things go badly, he can still turn around. You look at the Kentucky game; we got down early in that game. I was out of control on Twitter, and a couple of South Carolina fans were out of control. But Connor Shaw seemed to be very much in command. He knew what he was doing. We came out and we had a good second half. I think he leads the offense very well. I think if you're a Steve Spurrier quarterback, you cannot be intimidated easily. I mean, he's going to give you just hellacious criticism for at most practices. Now, that's obviously – there's a chasm of difference between that and playing at Tiger Stadium at night. But the point being is I get him to be a very calm influence on this team as far as how he's helped the rushing. I mean – you saw that in the Georgia game on that first touchdown when he faked to Lattimore and the defense kind of collapsed down on Lattimore. He rolled out right and the defense started to move towards him. And as a result of that, Bruce Ellington opened up downfield and he hit Ellington over the top for the first touchdown in that game. It's So it's just adding another dimension, and Spurrier, unlike how he was with Garcia, unlike how he has been with some other mobile quarterbacks, Spurrier has kind of resigned himself to the fact, and I think adapted well to the fact that this is part of the game now. You've got to have a mobile quarterback, and you've got to let him run. And he's taken that up. We run the zone read.
Yeah, I didn't realize he ran as much as he did. I mean, I haven't watched much of South Carolina this year. I mean, how much does the other quarterback play? I mean, he's got 500 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. Thompson, is it a platoon thing right now? Is Connor Shaw kind of taking over now, and Thompson's getting kind of faded out, or is he?
Connor Shaw got banged up in the Vanderbilt game.
Okay.
And I think it was East Carolina they held him out of, and then UAB he played some and didn't play other times. And this is actually one of the things that was involved in that Spurrier Ron Morris feud earlier this year was whether Shaw should be playing or not. Shaw is the starting quarterback. Dylan Thompson is the backup. He's had to play a little bit more probably than he was intended to play, but for all intents and purposes now he plays mop up duty. So
okay, so that's okay. That's why his stats are so okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure, but because I didn't think so. I didn't think they really platoon too much.
Still a Spurrier, so always be on the lookout for the backup quarterback if Spurrier is around. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah, most uncomfortable. What is always say about a Spurrier quarterback? The most uncomfortable position to be in is to start the quarterback for a Spurrier coach team.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So.
Though Shaw, I mean, he seems to have a lot of confidence in Shaw. Shaw may be the first quarterback he's had at South Carolina that it actually looks like he likes. So, just an interesting footnote there.
Sure. I lost my train of thought for a second. So what do y'all think y'all need to do, I mean, as far as, you know, when y'all have the ball on offense to kind of shake up the LSU defense, who, you know, if they can't keep us in the game, it's not going to be a game. What do y'all think y'all can do to attack the defense, to attack LSU's defense?
Well, I mean, the major thing is going to be the running game. I mean, we work a lot off the run game. Now, you know, the fact of the matter is our receivers are not that tall. That's one of the things that we have to work around. And so you try to play the run game. You try and use that to kind of soften the defense and open up some of these routes in the open field. But this may be the kind of game where we turn to Lattimore and we put it on Connor Shaw and we say, you know, y'all go out and run the football and win the game that way if you have to. I don't know. I haven't watched that much LSU football. I watched the Florida game, but obviously I didn't watch too many of your other games because they've been pretty lopsided. Mm-hmm. But, I think that running is the option. It's the direction we're going in. I mean, we tried 10 passes in the Georgia game before garbage time. Now that's because we didn't have to throw that much after we were up 21-0. But
right.
But I still think in these big games, we're going to lean pretty heavily on the run right now, and pick and choose the places where we put the ball up in the air.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't really, offensively, I don't think there's nothing we can really do to really shake up South Carolina's defense. I think if our defense can, and we kind of touched on this already, but if our defense can just kind of hold us at bay and, you know, we somehow make a play special teams wise or, you know, hit a big play offensively, you know, we can hit a big play. It's just a matter of catching and holding on to football after, you know, if our defense puts us in position, our offense seems to capitalize and score touchdowns, especially with the game being a bad thing.
Well, I still think our secondary can be had. There's still some issues with experience and at some points just talent in the secondary. But obviously that gets back to, can your offensive line hold off the defensive line long enough to you know, let those routes through the secondary develop, and that's been the the problem for most teams, and based on the Florida game, it might be a problem for y'all.
Maybe this is the week everything comes together.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna have enough time to throw the football to help a route open up downfield against the second.
Yeah, you're gonna see a lot of quick outs, screen passes. You know, the kind of passes you see when your offensive line gets beat. Things get the ball out quick, and we're just gonna have to count on receivers to make catches. They have to start making catches, and I'd almost like to see the team throw the ball 30, 40 times and just. You know, just a lot of quick passes and just do it. You know, even if guys are dropping the ball, just keep at it because the run game is just not working. And it's not really the running back's fault because we know they have talent. There are no holes. The offensive line, which I thought hit rock bottom last week, with Hurst probably not going to play, might get worse. And that's frightening. So I'm almost out of answers here.
They come up with a whole new, just develop a whole new offense that just doesn't use offensive line. There we go.
Yeah.
That's our key. That's our key.
Let's run the A11. Let's just do it.
All right. Brandon, final thoughts before we run through some picks. And of course we're going to pick this game last, but, just your kind of final synopsis before we actually pick some game.
Well, I mean, one of the things that's occurred to me is, and this is going to sound like it contradicts what I said at the beginning of the conversation, but I think from the perspective of the SEC, this is one of the more important games of the year so far, because you do have a lot of questions about both these teams coming in. Is South Carolina a good team that really had the night of its life against Georgia last week? And is LSU a really good team who just had an off week at Florida? Or is LSU as weak as it's looked, and is South Carolina as good as it looked last week? And I think this game's going to answer a lot of questions about both these teams. And I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I'll try and have a pick here, but I keep going back and forth on this game. I think it's a little bit unpredictable right now.
Yeah, I kind of am with you on the fact that it's unpredictable just because – it's a Les Miles coach team in a game that they have to win. And something we've learned as LSU fans is never really bet against Les, particularly when it seems logical to do so. Expecting predictable things out of LSU in the past 8 years is really kind of silly. I hate to use every cliche in the book, but the team's back is up against the wall. They were embarrassed last week, and it's time to show that this team is made of something. And really... South Carolina, if this team has heart, South Carolina's going to get LSU's best shot. And that's the thing that's kind of keeping me going through this week, that's the thing that you can build off of. Maybe this team needed to lose, so it no longer has the pressure of, you know, not having lost a regular season game in, you know, 2 years. That it doesn't have the whole national title conversation, and they no longer have the whole pressure that it's a one-game season. They can now play games each game as if that game matters, instead of always looking at the Alabama game. So if this team comes out focused, they still have talent. Remember, everybody on this team was highly recruited. It's not like these guys stink. It's time to show up. This is a huge, huge game for LSU. It's a much bigger game for LSU than it is for South Carolina. This is the defining game of our season. And really, LSU has to win this game. And that's normally when you count on Les to come through.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is a must-win game for y'all. It's a kind of need-to-win game for us, but it's not season-defining.
Right. If you win, it's season-defining. If you lose, it's just something you just, you know, oh, we lost that one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then it becomes season-defining. So.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah, like we touched on earlier, you still both teams control their own destiny in their respective divisions. You know, it's proven in years past that a team can go 11-1 in the SEC and go to the SEC championship game, win that game, go 12-1 and go and play for a national championship. It's, you know, it's likely to happen again this year. I don't know. You know, we still have a lot of football to play. We're only halfway through. There's still a lot of teams that are going to get picked off and lose. So, you know, I agree with everything you said, Poser, but I keep going back to how unhealthy we are, especially on the offensive line. And it's just, against that defensive line, it's just not a good recipe. So I don't, you know, I think defensively we can stay within a touchdown. but can we get out of our own way offensively and make a play to overcome that? That's going to be the telltale sign. So
I think you're entirely right. It's
yeah. All right.
The injuries are the number one story of this team this year is the injuries. We've lost so many players to injuries and suspensions that they've lost at least a third of the starting lineup. I think we're down now at, 70 scholarship players.
Right.
We have less scholarship players dressing out than USC, and USC is on suspension. I mean, that's the kind of season we're having. It's,
right.
So, you know, it's a tough road to hoe.
Mm-hmm. It is. And with that said, you know, let's run through a handful of picks here, and we'll wrap it up. And we'll pick LSU South Carolina last. Brandon, the way we do it, we just pick games against the spread. Okay. Just give a quick little take on it, and we'll move on. We're not going to pick every game on our pool because it's like 14. It's going to take us forever. So I'm going to run through a handful of them, key on the big matchups, and we'll go from there. And I'll just announce them out. First one on the list, Red River Rivalry. Kind of means something with Texas being, you know, a decent team again after a couple years laid off. Both teams have a loss. Texas just lost to West Virginia. Oklahoma dropped that game a couple of weeks ago to Kansas State. But this game, where did they play this game? I don't even know.
They played at Dallas. It's going to be at
that's
the
right.
State Fair.
Okay, that's right. Okay. Oklahoma's favored by 3.5. Pozo, who do you like?
Texas is taking a lot of heat for their defense, but West Virginia is going to make a lot of defenses look silly. I actually really like this Texas team this year. They look like they're building something after about 2 years in the wilderness, and Oklahoma's still not looking good to me. I think Texas is going to win this, and I think they're going to win by double digits.
All right, Brandon?
Small line, and I think Oklahoma's going to win because Big Game Bob has had his – one unbelievable loss in the Big 12 for this season. So I think Oklahoma wins.
I am on the fence on this one. I know what you're saying about Big Game Bob. He had his one hiccup, but he's prone to have a couple more in the recent seasons. Texas has some things going. They had some good momentum. They lost. You know, they ran to West Virginia and gave up a ton of points, but who hasn't to West Virginia? You know, I'm kind of with you, Brandon. I like the experience that Oklahoma has. And usually when these two teams are evenly matched and they're playing in this game, Oklahoma usually lays the wood to Texas. So based on past history, I'm going to pick Oklahoma and the experience factor as well. So
I would like to point out that I'm the only person who picked Texas, and I'm known as a big Texas hater. So this, of course, means that the Mayans are right. So.
No doubt. Let's move on. Okay, Stanford against undefeated Notre Dame in South Bend. Notre Dame is a 9.5-point favorite here. Pozo, who do you like?
That's a lot of points. Notre Dame's been beating up on Big Ten teams. Stanford does not play in the Big Ten. I'm a Stanford skeptic, but I do think they're better than the teams Notre Dame's been playing. I'm not sure Stanford's going to pull off a victory, but that's just too many points. I'm gonna take Stanford to at least cover.
Brandon?
Stanford, I think, is still probably overrated. I've got them overrated. I think Notre Dame rolls. I like Notre Dame this year. I hate to say that, but I really like their team this year. I think they cover.
I like Stanford. Notre Dame's offense, with the exception of playing against Miami, who was a really bad offense. I mean, a really bad defense. Having trouble scoring points. Stanford has a really good defense. Offense, a little bit to be desired, but I think I'm with Pozo. There's too many points for a defense that's too good and an offense that really hasn't proven anything yet. So with that, I'll take Stanford in the points. Moving on. Let's go. Tennessee at Mississippi State. We'll get some conference games now. Mississippi State still undefeated, 5-0, 3.5-point favorites in Stark Vegas against the Volunteers. Pozo.
You know, I was big on Tennessee at the start of the season. They do not have a defense. I still really like that offense. I'm still a little bit skeptical of Mississippi State. They haven't actually beaten anybody who's any good, but Tennessee's defense is just too much of a mess. They have all the earmarks of a team that's spiraling out of control. I'm going to take State.
All right, Brent.
Tennessee, I think the offense is the best thing Mississippi State has faced all year, and I still don't see – I mean, Mississippi State, they haven't been blowing out this inferior competition for the most part. So I think Tennessee can go in there and get a win.
I'm going to go with Mississippi State just because we've seen Tennessee jump out of the box here a little bit. And play good early on in the season, and kind of as the season is going on, especially with and Derek Dooley's not going to be on the sidelines for this game. I don't know how much it really factors into how they're going to play on the field. But I like Mississippi State's got some momentum. They're at home against a team with a weak defense. I like Mississippi State, and I like them to cover. I like them more. Of course, if they cover, I mean, anyway. Where to go? Texas A&M, Louisiana Tech, a makeup game from early in the season. Louisiana Tech still undefeated, but getting 7.5 in the Independence Bowl at Shreveport. Poza.
This is a big game for A&M. They cannot lose a La Tech all of a sudden. Johnny Football's a really exciting player. He makes a ton of mistakes, but he also makes tons of great plays. He might be the most exciting player in the conference. He's definitely not the best, but he's the kind of player that he's fun to watch. But also, this is just a homer pick. Ben Molina went to the high school that my wife teaches at, so I'm going to take A&M to beat La Tech. Ben Molina is going to have a big game.
All right, Brian.
A&M wins, but they don't cover. I think Louisiana Tech is a for-real team this year. I think they'll keep it closer than 7.5 points, but I do think A&M wins.
Yeah, I like Louisiana Tech to cover at home as well. No real factual things based on that other than the fact that they're at home. They're a good football team. A&M's still young. They can force A&M to make some mistakes. At home, crowd's going to get them juiced. They might even jump out to an early lead, and A&M will just probably just come back and win the game, but not cover. You know, so that for those reasons, that's why I'm going with Louisiana Tech. I guess we'll go this route. We'll go Southern Cal at Washington. Washington getting 12.5 points over there at home.
That's the exact kind of spread that makes me nervous. I do think USC is going to win this game. They spotted Utah 14 points and still came back and won pretty comfortably. Washington's played a brutal schedule. They've actually looked fairly decent. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by anything. They're playing this one at home, right? Washington's the home team?
Yes.
Then I'm going to take Washington to cover because they're at home. But that's the exact – I think Vegas nailed it. I think it's going to be right around 12 points.
Washington's got something to prove. They got blown out by Oregon last year. They're not going to win this game, but I don't think they're going to lose by 12.5 points.
I've been riding the coattails. I've been picking against every time we've had USC to pick them. I've picked against them, I think, and they haven't been covering spreads all year. The only time I did pick them was against Syracuse, and they only won that game by 16 points. It was a 28-point spread, something like that. You know, that I just think Washington, you know, at home, you know, Sarkisian going up against his old school, I just think that they keep this game close and they keep it within that 12.5. So I will take Washington the points on that one. And now moving on to, we're going to pick our game. We're going to go South Carolina, of course, at LSU. LSU giving 2.5 at home, even though a bad offense, banged up all over the place, at home at night in Tiger Stadium under the lights. Poza, what do you think?
This hurts me because looking at it from just a gambling standpoint, this just screams free money. I do not understand how LSU is favored in this game. They must think Tiger Stadium is worth like 6 or 7 points. USC right now I think looks like the best team in the conference. I think right now they have looked better than Alabama. LSU's looked terrible. I know they have a lot to prove, and I've said a lot, but I can't pick LSU as a favorite in this game. So if we do win, we'll win by like a point or two. But I'm gonna have to take South Carolina.
I feel like knocking furiously on wood right now, and I do reserve the right to change my mind a few more times over the course of the week. But I'll go with South Carolina right now. The defensive line comes through and keeps LSU from doing anything on offense, and South Carolina wins, I think, a close game.
All right. For the first time in history of the Go Show and probably my life, I am picking against LSU. And that's counting the horrible years of the 1990s, too. when I was just a teenager and picked LSU because I was stupid. And picking with Tola with my heart back then as a teenager. You know, I can totally see this going either way. I can see us making plays and being at home and riding that momentum, but I keep looking at all the injuries and all the problems we have on offense. You know, even if we didn't have all the injuries on offensive line, I think we still probably have some problems on offense because the issues with catching the football and fumbling, that doesn't pertain to injuries. So, and how uncomfortable Mettenberger looks in the pocket sometimes, reading blitzes and things of that sort. This is a very good team we're playing. They're very good on the defensive line. We're very bad on the offensive line. Doesn't bode well. Defense keeps us in the game, but it's the same song and dance as last week. I don't think our offense is going to be able to make the plays that they need to make to win the football game. And I think South Carolina is going to wear us down with Lattimore and Shaw and win this game somewhere. It's going to be – this screams LSU Florida 2009 all over again, in my opinion, like 13-3. I mean, it's just – It just feels like. It just feels like our offense won't be able to get out of its own way and our defense will keep us in the game. But, you know, I don't see us scoring more than 10 points. So I think South Carolina 14-10, something like that. So, a little reverse psychology. Hopefully I threw the kiss of death on South Carolina. Hopefully I'm a jinx, in the opposite fashion. So I don't know. Who knows?
Well, I'm so depressed. I'm knocking on wood or particle board or whatever this desk is right now. So,
yeah, I'm too depressed to even close out a show because I'm picking against LSU. But
yeah, I know.
I got to do it.
It's LSU on our own broadcast. That's
I know.
That's not good.
Unanimous. So, all right. That will close it up for us tonight. I'd like to thank Brandon from GarnetAndBlackAttack.com and also TeamSpeak Kills. Joining us as a guest tonight, Poser, for sitting in with me tonight, Podcat for doing whatever Podcat does, where we talk the whole time for an hour. I'm Kerry Muntz. Listen for us Saturday. We will be streaming live at our tailgate, Team Cat tailgate headquarters, right in front of Coach Hall on Tower Drive, new location for this year for us. So we'll be streaming it live. If you come to the website around 8-ish. We'll have the stream up. We usually start about 8:15-ish, somewhere around there. It's not really a set time. Sometime between 8 and 8:30, we'll be up and running, and we'll have a full round table of people to talk and bitch about everything that happened on Saturday, and to make some predictions about the game on Saturday, and look at the weekend as a whole. We got some good games again this weekend, so be a fun weekend. So if you're out there tailgating, come stop by and see us and say hi. We'll be there all day. And if you come after 12 o'clock, I'm not responsible for what I say or do to you or your girlfriend. So with that being said, this is The Go Show. We are done. Go Tigers. I don't know.